Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I invite you to turn in your Bible with me to a familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 28, just prior to the time of Jesus being ascended into heaven. And he said in verse 18, "All power, that is all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. In this passage of Scripture are a number of subjects suggested to us, but one that I want to dwell upon today, and that is the subject of baptism. Our Lord commanded that baptism of certain ones be done. Surely a Bible student is aware that baptism is one of the greatest and most often referred to subjects of the New Testament. There are so many references to it. I think it is quite interesting. We know that everything that is called baptism is not New Testament baptism. We know that everything is called Christian is not Christian according to the definitions of Scripture. But in about 95% of that people that would refer to themselves in the broadest sense as Christian practice something or another that they call baptism. So this simply shows that as one studies the Bible, he is impressed with the fact that baptism is a very cardinal point in the doctrine of Christ. Unfortunately, there are few subjects over which there are more areas of division and difference and controversy than the subject of baptism. For instance, one of the greatest controversies is whether or not it is even essential to salvation. Some say yes and some say no. There is a great controversy over what baptism is, that is, to the actual physical act, whether it's sprinkling or pouring or immersion or all three. It is interesting that about, I suppose, 99% of people of religious thought, however, would agree that immersion is baptism, and there is a wide variance as to whether sprinkling or pouring would be accepted as baptism. There is a difference as to whether we baptize one time, for the Bible says there's one baptism, or as some practice, we baptize three times, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's three baptisms, where the Bible says there is but one. I think we ought need to always understand that though there is controversy about baptism, the Scripture settles the point if we would only adhere to what it has to say. There's a difference as to whether baptism is water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism. Well, of course, Holy Spirit baptism applied to the apostles, and again, there is one baptism, and at the time that Paul wrote, there is one baptism. The baptism that was being preached, the baptism that is being practiced, was water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There's even controversy over who is to be baptized. Some go through what they call the baptizing of infants. Others only baptize the believers. Others save people. There's difference as to who should do the baptizing, but that doesn't really make any difference who does the baptizing. It's what's in the heart and the mind of the person being baptized. There's controversy over where the baptism is to take place, whether it ought to be in running water, in a creek, in a river, or whether in a baptistry, or a tub, or wherever. There's even baptism as to when it ought to take place. Some think that a person has to be baptized at the conclusion of a worship service, when, of course, in New Testament times, people were baptized in the same hour of the day and night. So there's hardly anything about baptism over which men have not seen fit to divide. But that's all uncalled for, and God is not the fault of that division, but it's man's unwillingness to simply abide with what God has revealed in His Word. They take upon themselves to add to and to subtract from. The Bible is the sole authority in matters religious, because it will furnish us completely unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17. It's not that people don't see the Bible alike. It's just a lot of people are not hearing it alike, and a lot of people don't see it alike because they're not even looking at it at all. And when you don't look at the Bible, of course you're not going to see it alike. But today in our subject, I want us to briefly just simply touch upon things that will be brought to your remembrance and also hopeful for the instruction of those who have not yet been baptized, and for the benefit of those who are young in years that need to learn five reasons from Scripture as to why we are to be baptized. And the first that I suggest to you is simply because our Lord Jesus has commanded it be done. Now, this is what we read in our text. He makes it a condition of salvation. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. The Apostle Peter, when he preached the gospel to the household of Cornelius, commanded them, Acts 10:48, to be baptized. There's only one of two things you can do with any command. You either obey it or you disobey it. And people were baptized in obedience in New Testament days to that command. Here we're dealing with our willingness to obey Christ. Are we really willing to submit ourselves to His authority and to His lordship to make Him truly our master and to follow wheresoever He leads? Friend, I suggest to you it's rather inconsistent to say we love the Lord but not do what He says, because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Isn't it rather inconsistent to say that we're a friend of the Lord and not do what He says, because He said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you? Isn't it really inconsistent to claim as He's our Lord if we don't do what He says when He asks, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why, John wrote, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, there's more to understand about being baptized and the why to be baptized than simply to obey Christ, because we read in the Bible of some who were baptized and obviously had the attitude of obedience, but they were being baptized wrongly and for the wrong purposes. They were even being baptized in a baptism that was no longer operative, John's baptism. But it is important that we recognize we are to be baptized because of the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And someone might say, then, all right, I am willing to be baptized because Christ, the Son of God, has so directed. But there is more than just our willingness to understand. Brethren, we are to understand, secondly, the baptism is for the remission or for the forgiveness of sins. This is what the Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And also Saul of Tarsus, Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It was Peter who wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 that baptism doth now also save us. You see, man is lost in his sins. He's out of Christ. He cannot go to heaven with those guilt of sins upon him. They must be forgiven. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God. What is baptism for? Peter says it's for the remission of sins. Now focus your attention with me on this word for, because there are some that have distorted and perverted the meaning of the word for. They have said that we're baptized, it means because we're already forgiven of our sins, they would contend. But friend, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. The word for, coming from a little three-letter word in the Greek, E-I-S, ace or ice, it never means because of. It always is a forward-looking word. We're baptized looking forward to, in order to, the accomplishment of something. And it is for the accomplishment of the forgiveness of sins. But you don't have to know a thing in the world about the Greek language or the little E-I-S to know that that is so. Just read in your Bible. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, when our Lord Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, He said on that occasion that His blood was shed for the remission of sins. Exactly the same phrase that Peter uttered in Acts 2 and verse 38. So what it means in one place, it's obviously going to mean in the other. It was for the remission of sins. Now, why was the blood of Christ shed? Was it shed because sins were already forgiven, as some denominationalists preach and practice? Indeed not. Christ's blood was shed in order to, for the purpose of, to the accomplishment of, the forgiveness of sins. That was deity's part. And when Peter was talking about being baptized for the remission of sins, he's talking about man's part and what man must do in order to receive the forgiveness of the sins. Well, you might say, I don't see how God does that. Well, whether you see how God does it or not doesn't change the fact. I think that we can see a little bit later on just exactly what was in the mind of God to command baptism. But dear friend, that's the purpose of baptism. Well, someone says, I've already been baptized. Well, that may be well, and it may not be so well. Why were you baptized? What did you consider to be baptism? Did you consider your sprinkling or pouring to be baptism? If that's so, you have not complied with baptism as was taught in the New Testament. Sometimes people are baptized thinking they've already been saved prior to baptism. Well, that's not New Testament baptism. Some are baptized in order to join some denomination. That's not New Testament baptism. To be baptized to join some human or religious organization of which the Bible doesn't say a single word is not New Testament baptism. And one who has been so baptized needs to obey the commandments of the Lord for the very reasons that the Lord has given it. See, friend, we are to do what the Lord says, how the Lord has said it, and for the purposes that the Lord has commanded it. That's when we are truly obedient to the Lord. In Acts the 19th chapter, when Paul came to the city of Ephesus, he found some people there that had been baptized. And he said, unto what were you baptized? Well, they had been baptized into John's baptism. Well, John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. And John the Baptist came and he preached baptism looking forward to the coming of the Christ and the coming of the kingdom. But now when the Apostle Paul was out preaching and Christ had already come and the kingdom had already come, John's baptism was obviously not relevant anymore. These people had been baptized in a baptism that was no longer operative at the time. So Paul took them and baptized them correctly. He baptized them in the name of or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, just exactly like the Apostle Peter. He commanded the people on Pentecost to be baptized. And you can't be taught wrong, and you cannot believe wrong about baptism and obey it right. There's just no way to be taught wrong and believe wrong and obey right. Dear friend, we are supposed to obey, but in Romans 6, verse 16 through 18, we are to obey from the heart. Now the heart of the Bible is the mind of man. That's the seat of his understanding. We need to understand what we are doing, how we are to do it, why we are to do it. And if we have a misconception of those things, why, there's no way to do what God wants us to do. So we're to be baptized because Christ has commanded it. We're to be baptized for the remission of sins. We're to be baptized to get into Christ. And Galatians 3 and verse 27 teaches us that we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4 teaches that we're baptized into Christ. We leave the world and we enter into Christ. And friend, we can't overemphasize the importance of being in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 1, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Revelation 14, 13. You can't overemphasize the necessity of being in that spiritual relationship to which the Apostle Paul refers to repeatedly as being in Christ. I remember one time being in the doctor's office, I've told you about it before, and I was reading a religious piece of a paper that was called Baptist Reflector, and he was discussing Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 where it teaches that we're baptized into Christ, and the author of the article said, this is one of the ways that we get into Christ. Well, I took down his name and address and the name and address of the publisher of the paper, and I wrote them a sum total of three different letters asking them to please from Scripture, give me one other way that you get into Christ in addition to being baptized into Christ. Well, they never, evidently never did get my letters because I never did hear a word from them. And you won't, and you can't. And if they had sent me a letter, they had never given me any other way, because there's no other way that the Bible teaches. Two times in Scripture, the Bible tells us how we make that final step from being in the world and leaving that world and coming into Christ into a saved relationship with God, and both times it says the same thing. We are baptized into Christ. Can you find some other way to get into Christ? You don't just believe in the Christ. You don't just repent into Christ. You believe unto salvation. You repent unto remission of sins. But that's going forward. That's going toward. That's like that little word E-I-S again. But you're baptized into Christ. And that's one of the purposes of being baptized. And friend, until you are baptized, you are not in Christ. And you will not be in Christ. and you will not enjoy the spiritual blessings that he brought. And you do not have a single word or syllable in the Bible that offers you one grain of hope for your soul until you have obeyed the Lord's command to be baptized. Well, there's another reason given to us quite explicitly, and that is to become a member of the Lord's church. Now, some people practice baptism in order to join a denomination, but the Bible doesn't talk about joining even the church, or certainly not joining a denomination, and the church is not a denomination. You see, some people, really honestly and sincerely, I suppose, believe that it really doesn't make any difference to which church you belong. But the Bible does not teach that. First of all, the Bible doesn't teach that there are many churches and choose the church of your choice. That's man's doctrine. The Bible teaches the Lord established his church. There is but one. There are plurality of congregations, but there's only one body, and the church is his body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 tells us there is one body, and significantly fit. Ephesians 5 verse 23 says that Christ is the Savior of the body. He's not just the Savior of anything that comes down the pike. He's the Savior of the body, and the body is the church. And if you and I want to be saved, we must be in that which the Lord has promised to save. You don't read about joining churches, you don't read about many churches, and you're not baptized to join some denomination. In Matthew 15 and verse 18, Jesus said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Dear friend, it is important that you be in the church, because that's the kingdom of God. And that's the kingdom that the Lord Jesus is going to deliver back to the Father when he comes again. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Do you not find it significant that on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, those people asked men and brethren, "What shall we do?" He told them to repent and be baptized. Some 3,000 welcomed that word. They received that word. They were baptized. And the last verse of that chapter says, "The Lord added them daily to the church." Those that were being saved. That's what the church is. It's the company of the saved. You don't do one thing to be saved and something else to become a member of the Lord's church. What you do to be saved simultaneously makes you a member of the saved. And that may seem to be a redundancy, but that's the truth of the matter, because the church is the saved. And unless you are saved, you are still lost. And when you are saved, you are automatically added by the Lord to the church. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, it tells us, by the way, we are baptized into the one body. And that's the way we get into the church, just like the way we get into Christ. But now, the fifth and final reason I want to mention to you will explain to us, I believe, as much as anything and as clearly as anything, the mind of God with respect to the necessity of being baptized, and why he chose that manner and that procedure and what he accomplishes by it. Remember, sometimes people say, "Well, I don't see how the Lord does that. I don't see how being dipped in water is going to do anything for my soul." Well, just listen. We sing the song sometimes, "What can wash away my sins?" The answer in the song, "Nothing but the blood of Christ." We sing the song, "There is power in the blood." Those are scriptural concepts. That's what the Bible teaches. We are saved by the blood of Christ. Life is in the blood. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, it tells us that Christ loosed us from our sins by his blood. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. In Hebrews 13 and verse 12, Christ sanctifies the people through his own blood. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood of Christ cleanseth us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, we're justified by his blood. In Hebrews 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And on and on and on is the emphasis in the Bible on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is the cleansing agent for our sin-stained souls. And we don't want to ever minimize that. But when does the blood of Christ cleanse our sin-stained souls? It is when the cleansing agent is properly applied. And the Bible teaches it is when we are baptized that God applies the blood of Christ to our souls and we are raised to walk in a newness of life. This is the reason Peter could say, "Baptism doth now also save us." Not because there's any power into that element of water into which we're to be baptized, not at all. but it is because God has said that when you're baptized, that's when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, it tells us that not only we're baptized into Christ, notice this is significant, we're baptized into His death. Well, where did Christ die? Why, He died on the cross with the shedding of His blood, John 19, verse 34. When we're baptized into the benefits of His death. When we're baptized, we reach the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul calls, in Colossians 2 and verse 12, the operation of God. God applies the blood of Christ. This is a spiritual matter, not literal, of course. This is a spiritual matter that God takes care of. When we obey the Lord, well, why did He choose baptism? Well, the Scripture do not specifically tell us, except for the fact that the baptism, as Romans 6, 3 and 4, as Christ died and was buried and was raised, so we die to sin and we are buried in water and we are raised to walk in newness of life. And this is that form of doctrine by which we are saved. There's a doctrine by which we are saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We obey a form, a representation of that doctrine. What more perfectly shows that doctrine than being baptized, dying to sin, being buried in water, and raised to walk in newness of life? Surely that reveals unto us the mind of God and the purposes of God as to why we are to be baptized. And people who believe the Bible and who will submit to Jesus Christ, they have no quibbles about this. They'll have no problem in simply accepting this and to doing what the Lord said. Now, here are five reasons, then, why we're to be baptized. Because when a person is baptized, they should understand what they're doing. We want our young people to understand what they're doing, what is involved, the significance of it. We are baptized because our Lord Jesus has commanded it be done. That should convince us of our willingness to do whatever the Lord has said do. We are to be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. We are to be baptized to get into Christ. We are to be baptized in order to be added to the body, the church, the company of the saved. We are to be baptized in order to reach the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Now, my dear listener, that's what God says about it. That's what Scripture says about it. We might be able to add some other things from Scripture, but this will suffice to help us to understand. This is what God says. Now, that's what He thinks about it. What do I think about it? Will I accept what He says? What do you think about it? I simply close my lesson this morning by encouraging you to hear the word of the Lord when He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And put your confidence in the word of the Lord. I would persuade you, in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, that Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey Him. It would be nonsensical for us to claim to be saved until we've done what He says we must do to be saved. He is not the author of our salvation until we obey. And so, in the words of Ananias to Saul of Tarsus, I would say to you, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Bearing in mind that our Lord said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." To be baptized for the reasons that we have given is to do the will of God. If you have not yet obeyed the Lord in baptism, won't you take advantage of this good hour to come with a heart full of faith and a penitent spirit to confess your faith in Christ and this very hour be baptized into Christ according to the teaching of the Bible and to be added to the Lord's people.